Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm going to be reflecting on several insights connected to this Jubilee year. This is the Pope. He identified this as a Jubilee year with the motto being Pilgrims of Hope, that this is a journeying together in hope Jubilee year. And what that means is that we're pilgrims of hope. And boy, that brought me back to my own pilgrimage, walking the Camino, which gave me insights into several things that I want to share with you today. And I will do so in just a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and I thank you and praise you, Lord, for all the ways that you bless us, all the ways that you take care of us, the way that you bring things together in your perfect timing. Lord, help us to be able to recognize the stage we are in our own journey. Help us to recognize it in the big picture, and in the minutest of moments, help us to realize what is at stake. And Lord, bless the program. May it be a blessing to those who listen and encouragement to them. And I do pray for each and all of them, Lord, for discernment in the big things, and that we would recognize that you have a providential care over our lives. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so it's a Jubilee year, 2025. Pope Francis has identified it as such. Please pray for the health of Pope Francis. If you know, the reports are that he is near to death, but that not that he has died. But we ought to pray for him for a peaceful, a holy death, if the Lord were to take him now, or a recovery to health. And so, just that the Lord's grace and mercy, and he who is a pope that has advocated so much mercy, that in a certain sense, this would be a fitting season for him to go home to God during a Jubilee year, which is about being a pilgrim of hope, a pilgrim that has a hope, confidence that the goal of life is in mind. And so pray for him. Please pray for Pope Francis. In this Jubilee year, my word for the year is farewell. And so we use one of those word generators. And for me, that means I'm trying to say farewell to things in my life, shedding those things that are holding me back in comfortable dissipation. You remember that phrase if you've listened to me talk. I don't want spiritual deflation in my life. I want a vigorous, rigorous, generous, and courageous life as a disciple. And so attempting to say farewell to those things that are holding me back, weighing me down. And I want that for you too, right? We don't want to live in a comfortable dissipation, right? Where our lives are filled with so many things that make our lives comfortable, but they're making one thing uncomfortable, our pursuit of holiness. That would not be good. We don't want that. So today in the program, I'm going to reflect on recognizing God's call in the moment. So there's the idea of, in this moment, you just might have something at stake in terms of recognizing that, oh, God's setting up a conversation. God is setting up this encounter, this meeting with somebody. And that was something I experienced quite a bit on the pilgrimage that I took on the Camino in September, late August into September of last year. The number of times that it was down to a matter of a second or a couple of seconds where this happenstance meeting was in fact a divine appointment. God was providing this contact, this communication, this connection between me and somebody else. And it only happened because of the coming together in a matter of 1 second, or just a matter of a handful of seconds, a couple of seconds, where we would be passing by a crossroads together. I was coming out of a hostel where I was staying, or they were coming out, and we just happened to pass by, connect up together in that one little moment, and then the conversation happened, and God moved in powerful ways. But it was that God has that level of detail, that He has the ability to care for you over these, like, if I want to say that, like, what looks like this incredible luck, this, what are the odds for these two people to connect like this for in the matter of a second or two? And in the plan of God, God is like, are you kidding? That was nothing. I'm all over that. What looks to you to be an incredible stroke of luck was, no, God's divine providence was guiding this all along and had the power to bring this together. So I'm going to reflect on that. I'm going to reflect on the idea that God might have something for you in the moments of maybe this program, or maybe in a conversation that you'll have today or tomorrow, or something that you'll hear or read. Somebody will say to you, or a word that the Lord will speak in your prayer, a scripture that you open to, or right, there's a myriad of ways that the Lord will break into your life and will get your attention, and it'll be a divine appointment. It'll be a divine appointment. But then there are the bigger strokes, the wider awareness of the stages of life. And that was one of the biggest things that happened to me on the Camino, was coming from it, coming out of it, looking back at my notebook and realizing that in the days that followed, I had this heightened, like, it was a breakthrough awareness. It was this breaking through the life that I was living in a just kind of going with the flow way, and realizing that, wait a minute, if I just keep going with the flow, my life will potentially be distracted and diverted and dispersed away from doing what God truly has for me to do at this age and stage of my life. One of the things that happened at that point was I started to follow some, like, financial planning channels online, and started to take a closer look at, how do you approach the stage of life where you move from working full-time to retirement? Now, my personality and the way that I live, I can't imagine really ever retiring. There's also this thing that I've got 9 kids, 4 in college, 2 that have just finished college or have gone beyond college, and 3 in private schools that are headed to college. Yeah, okay, pray for me. And I do church work in real estate. So the idea of trusting in the Lord, that he's going to provide. But there's one thing that He provides to us that has a limited quantity, right? It diminishes, and that's time. Time only moves forward. You can't gain back time. The only way that you can gain back time is to extend your time horizon, and maybe do that through living in a more healthy fashion. Even that insight was something that was like, oh, wow, I better pay attention to that. And watching one of these channels, they ended up using this quality triangle, something that I would use in consulting work and in real estate. And by the way, this is going to come back around to ages and stages in your life, and especially those of you might be discerning moving. I want to talk to you about the real estate market, something I haven't really done much on this program, but because I've done real estate now for over 3 years and have been tracking the market and helping people discern moves, it feels like there's a lot at stake right now in the economy. And so for those of you that are trying to discern, is it a good time for me to move? I want to share with you some of the things that I bring to clients of mine who are asking me these questions. And I just want to share them with you to see if that would be a blessing as well. So the quality triangle is this idea that you have these three different, at the three different points in the triangle, you're going to put a letter, a Q, a dollar sign, and a T. And the basic rule is that the Q is the quantity or quality of something. the T is time, and the dollar sign is the quantity of dollars. And the concept is you can pick two, and then I'll tell you the third. Pick two, and then I'll tell you the third. You can't identify you want all three, right? So, for instance, in real estate, the way this would play out is, and I just had this conversation yesterday with someone, and it was, hey, what would you consider to be a good range to sell this house? And I said, well, as we go through this process, you can say, I would like to sell it for this amount of money. And I'm like, okay, if you want to sell the house that you have right now, that's the Q, the quantity or quality of the house, it's that house, and you want to sell it for that amount of money, okay, great, let's put that there. Now let's go take a look and see, and I'll tell you how much time it's going to take to be able to sell the house, to sell this house for that amount of money. Are you getting it? So those are, again, that's the Q, it's the T, and it's the dollar sign. You can pick two, I'll tell you the third. And sometimes it happens that the amount of money they want to sell their house for is a lot higher than the market right now justifies. And so what will happen is I'll say, okay, if you want to sell this house, the house that we're in right now, or the house that we're talking about, for that amount of money, it's going to take you probably 2 years. And that's how long it'll take for the market to catch up to the price that you want to sell it for. And so they're like, well, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. I want to sell the house in the next 2 months. I said, okay, great. So if you want to sell this house in the next 2 months, let's take a look at the data and see what the market is saying houses like yours in your area with these features, what this is going to sell for. Here's the price that you're going to get for the house. And they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 I want to make more from the house than that. And I said, well, you can pick two, and then I'm going to tell you the third by doing some research. And they'll say, well, wait a minute. No, I want to make more money than that from the sale of those. I want to sell it for this amount of money, but I want to sell it in the next 2 months. I'm like, okay, great. So if you want to sell a house for that amount of money that's higher than the market will bear right now, and you want to sell it in the next 2 months, well, we're going to have to update the house. We're going to have to upgrade it, renovate it, or do these other fixes in it. We have to make the house a more valuable asset if you want to actually sell it for that amount of money. Does this make sense? I hope this makes sense. This is it's a very valuable triangle to use, the quality triangle, right? Pick two and let's figure out the third. Pick two and I'll tell you the third. You can't determine all three. You can't say, I'm going to sell this house as is in the next 2 months in this time frame, and I'm going to get this amount of money because I want it. Well, that's not a good enough reason. The buyers are not there to solve your financial problems by selling it for the amount that you want. Now, honestly, there are times when I'll say to people things like, well, I'll tell you what, the amount of money you want to sell it for is actually less than you can sell it for right now. That house sold right now can actually be sold for more than that. Now, that's honestly a rarity. It's rare when that happens. It's much more the case that people have an inflated sense of what their house is, the quantity or quality of it, and what their house should sell for in their minds. And so, it's a wonderful tool, and it can be very helpful in figuring out what ought I do about my house in this market. Okay. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to come back to the real estate for a minute, but I want to talk about this as it relates to our lives. And so when I came back from the Camino, one of the things I started to take a look at was financial planning and saying for our retirement, well, this quality triangle came in on one of these channels, and the guy was using the quality triangle as it related to people approaching retirement. And so their question was, oh, quality of life. What kind of life do you want to live? And okay, great. If that's the quality of life you want to live, and how old are you now, and how long do you expect to live? Okay, so there's the T, that's the time. All right, now, basically, if you want to live this kind of lifestyle, it's going to cost you about this amount of money per month and per year, and you're going to live this many years. Let me tell you how much money you're going to need to have saved for retirement. And it was like, hey, that's it's exactly what I do, but in real estate, or I was doing it in consulting for businesses as well. And it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, you can also then say, oh, wait a minute, I don't have that amount of money, but I do think I'm going to live that many years. Well, that means I'm going to have to either change the quality of my life. I'm going to live less expensively so that I can make this amount of money last longer, or I'm going to have to work longer to be able to make more money, and that'll shorten the time frame so that I can still live that quality of life. Does this make sense? Well, one of the things that shows up in this is the scarcity of our time, that our time diminishes. And so the T in the quality triangle of looking at your that stage of life where you're getting older, all of a sudden, the idea of living in a healthy fashion, living in a fashion that says, I'm going to be able to enjoy my life. I'm going to be able to enjoy life with my wife. I'm going to have enough health to be able to do things and be healthy so that so that I can basically enjoy my retirement years. And it was a striking concept to me, because I, in doing executive coaching, would work with a lot of executives as they approached this last stage, as they were moving towards retirement. And I've shared this with you before, that how many times do you find that these people, when they get to a certain age, all of a sudden they have some health event and they have a health decline. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I had enough money to retire, to change the quality of my life so that I could be doing more things that I enjoyed rather than working. But the time window all of a sudden changed. And so the amount of healthy years where I could be very active became very diminished because of a health event. Well, that conversation, having it be put to me as someone who's coached and consulted with others, that had a big impact on my life. And it started having more conversations for Carrie and me to say, wait a minute, how are we living? What are we doing? I'm 60 years old, and I want to be healthy for a long time. And yet we want to live a certain kind of lifestyle, cue the quality. Well, how much money do we need to be able to live that lifestyle for the number of years that I'll remain alive? And again, you never know, but if you're going to do some planning, you're planning for a certain amount of lifestyle. And having that conversation, extremely valuable, very, very valuable, because it begins to put a little bit more intentionality in how we are spending our time. In doing some of this financial planning, I would bump up against these videos of people who are like, 70-year-old says all the regrets. Here are the 10 regrets I had about what I would do over if I could be 60 again or 50 again. Or what do we need to do? What I wish I knew at 60 when I was considering moving towards retirement, you know, that kind of, these were things that I didn't spend a lot of time on. I spend so much of my time and my life energy just focused on the here and now and the today, providing for my family, leading my family, working, doing the work that there is for me to do. It's taking that extra time and pausing and saying, wait a minute, what is the trajectory that we're on? And is that trajectory going to have me do the things that ultimately are most important for me to do? And that's what farewell is meaning for me in 2025. It's stripping me of those things that are holding me back. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. So I began the program with the theme of the Jubilee year, right? Journeying together in hope. And we're journeying together. I've been journeying with you for 20 years on the radio. And the idea there is that day to day, the Lord is at work in our lives, and day to day, He calls us to be faithful disciples, these missionary disciples called to become saints, fulfilling our God-given mission. And I've been sharing with you this journey. And now I'm at this stage in my life where I'm pondering and saying, wait a minute, it's that time factor that is so crucial to me that I want to use the time that remains, not first of all to be in optimal shape and to vacation and eat out and jet set around. That's not the life that I was made for. That's not the life that I've lived. With Carrie, we've spent 30 years of marriage focused on our family and on trying to serve the Lord and trying to be trying to live a holy life. And what I recognize as the things that have held me back is my own visionary capacity that says I can work harder, I can do more things, I can start something new, I can try to figure this out, I can try to make this happen. If I'm only, I can be very strategic and I'll be able to outpace the challenges that we have in terms of providing for my family. And I'm now at that stage where I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how I want to live. That's not it. Now I'm focused on things that are simpler. And it's so interesting. I would talk to folks about this when I was younger, 20 years ago. I would talk with them about the second half, and that was that shift from kingdom building to meaning. That shift in our lives, where our focus is on growing on influence, growing in wealth, growing in status, growing in power, growing in fame, growing in impact, growing in results, growing in visibility. All those things are just so important. And somehow those are things that are going to help me live the life that I'm supposed to live, to the second half. And the second half has a very different point of focus. In the second half of life, there's something different. It's about meaning. It's about relationships, the striving, the achieving, the conquering, the kingdom building diminishes and other things become important. And not just important, but have become identified as being more valuable in the eyes of God. At least that's how I'm taking this stage that I'm in now, this stage that I should say I'm moving into. I'm still working almost as much as I ever have between the ministry work and the real estate work and just taking care of kiddos. It's still a very full to overflowing life. But there's definitely this idea of simplifying, because there's a new criterion in this second stage. And that is this helping me become a saint? Is this truly what God's mission is for my life? And I think I've already shared with you, my sense is that I'm called upon to write more, to do more writing. And I don't know exactly why, but I do feel this sense of stewardship to hand on in writing the insights, the things that have been so striking to me about living my own life of faith and other people have found helpful. And so in order to clear space for me to do that, and secondly, to clear space for me to be able to pray more intensively, extensively, that's a big challenge. And I've already shared with you how the Camino was for me a gracious disruption. It graciously disrupted my typical life to walk as a pilgrim, right? This is a Jubilee year. We're pilgrims of hope. We're walking on this journey. We're journeying. And the more that pilgrim mentality, that pilgrim sense of identity, that sense that I'm on a journey here on earth, it makes me want to focus more front and center on, wait a minute, am I living the life that God has for me? And it's a more meaningful question right now than it was, say, 10 or 15 years ago, when I was so heavily weighted on raising my kids and providing for my family and preparing them for their future. Now, I am realizing that I'm always going to be focusing on my kids, preparing them for their future, helping them to be raised. They're just at a different stage. They're more at an adult stage now that I have five official adults, 18 years and older. No, six official adults and three others at home. That it's a definite swing. It's a definite swing. So I want to thank the Lord, because what I'm realizing is that what is most important isn't results. It isn't the measurable size of impact, influence, notoriety, those sorts of things that are measurable in ways that are tangible. And instead, it's about fruits. It's about bearing fruit. And I know, and I've known this, this isn't a new insight for me, but I'm living it in a new way. I'm living it in a new way today, that what endures forever, what endures in this stage as I move into and towards eternity, as I move towards God to that final stage of saying farewell to the world and moving to go home to God. And I'm not saying I'm going to die this year. I don't want to die this year. Generally speaking, I'm open. Lord, take me when you want. But I don't think that farewell is meant to be a sign that I'm going to die this year. That's not my discernment, but whatever the case, the Lord has it in his providential hand, that sense that I'm on this journey and I want to say farewell. I want to shed things. I want to shed things in my life to make room for things that will bear more fruit. Okay. That's the point. Shed the things in your life that are holding you back from bearing more fruit. So as we're coming up to Lent, I pass on these things that are percolating inside of me, things that are stirring around inside of me these days. This quality triangle of saying, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do with the, how do I extend the time that remains and have it be a certain quality of life? Well, how much money do I really need for that? Can we simplify our lifestyle even more so that we're able to live the quality life that bears fruit for God for as long as the Lord would have us do that? That's a simple way of laying over that quality triangle that I mentioned in the last section, and connecting it to my own life of faith. Okay, I want to shift now and mention one time, again, I really don't do this much on the program. You'll hear it as sponsor messages, that I am a real estate agent. I'm licensed in Washington and Idaho for Tomlins and Sotheby's International Realty. So it's Sotheby's is the brand. And my reason for entering into real estate back in 2021 was that I was helping so many families, coaching them, consulting with them, strategizing with them on how to uproot and move their families to be here in this Spokane to Coeur d'Alene corridor, that it overcame the amount of time I was doing consulting for businesses. And I realized I found a lot more life in coaching and consulting and serving as a real estate professional for folks who were moving here. Okay, so having done this now for several years and having paid attention to the real estate market for the last 25 years because of being a property manager over rental properties that Carrie and I have owned, not a lot, but we've had them since 2003. So our finger has been like sort of on the pulse of real estate over the last 20 years. One of the things that people will ask me routinely is, what's happening in the real estate market? Are prices going to continue to go up? What do you think is happening right now? And I always say to them, hey, anybody who says they have a crystal ball, anybody who says for sure they know what's happening, run away from them. Because if they really did know, if they had the ability to really know what was happening, they would probably be billionaires and they wouldn't be a real estate agent. However, with that said, a good real estate professional is going to be paying attention to trends and to data, to insights that come from trusted sources that will help understand what's going on in the market right now. And I, again, normally wouldn't talk about this on the radio, but my sense is that it's important enough, just in terms of discerning, that if you're thinking about buying or if you're thinking about selling, to be aware of what's happening in, let's call it the Spokane to Coeur d'Alene market here. It's also happening on the west side, because I still have clients that I serve in the Puget Sound area up to Anacortes, down to Tacoma. There are still some folks that I'm serving over there as well. Believe it or not, I partner with other agents. So I'm not just doing the work myself, but I partner with agents that have a similar set of a godly vision and ideals and are people of prayer and also highly professional that complement and supplement what I do. And so partnering with them also gives me a chance to brainstorm and to talk about and to bounce off and say, wait a minute, what's your sense on this? This is my sense on this. And here's what I'm saying and seeing. Well, for those that are in this area, right now, it does feel like the market, it passed a peak back in June of 2022. And since then, the markets have been in a, let's say a choppy but downward slump. But holding pretty steady. And in certain markets, in certain neighborhoods or certain areas, they've also continued to go up a little bit. But it's been choppy up and down, choppy up and down. Well, a lot of people talk about a real estate bubble, because you have these high interest rates, you have increased property taxes, you have increasing cost of insurance, you have increased costs of homeowners associations, HOAs. So you have all of these costs underneath a price that have gone higher. And in that type of market, combined with a broader economy, economic and financial situation that is often involving wages that are not keeping up to the rate of inflation. So you have the cost of things going up. You have inflation, right, making our dollars worth less. And now here we are, and we're interested in buying a house, and all of a sudden, we see that these prices are staying high, that have gone up so much. They've gone up 50, 75, 100% or more in the last 5 to 6 years, and people can't afford a house. And so people can't afford, and then the people that are in their homes, well, they don't want to sell because they're in low interest rates, because then they're going to have to buy in a higher interest rate setting. So you have these factors all combining together. And what I'm seeing happen, what's emerging in the last quarter of last year, and it's certainly emerging in the first quarter of this year, our prices are going down. The prices of homes are falling. Again, there are exceptions, certain kinds of homes in certain specific markets. That's not the case. Because if there's a very like a niche demand, that in certain niche demand locations and price points, the prices are steady and even going up, right? So I would say that's true on the west side in places like Kirkland and Bellevue, in Issaquah, in Mercer Island, and in those places where there's a luxury market. And that's sort of the other folks that I've been serving are folks that are high net worth folks who have in their home a very valuable asset that they want to either buy or sell very strategically. And that's where I've been able to draw upon my work as a consultant to be able to help them navigate those types of search situations as well. So in those circumstances, yeah, prices are still steady and even climbing. And as we move towards the summer, my expectation is that that will probably still be the case. But I share this with you as a part of like discerning the signs of the times, right? You want to discern the signs of the times. You don't want to miss the moment. And so if you're like concerned that, wait a minute, I'm in this moment where my house value has gone up quite a bit and I'm trying to figure out, should I sell now? So think about that very carefully, because there are voices out there that I trust that are saying the trend will be that some will begin to sell at a lower price than maybe what you thought your house was worth at, but you're in the same development or the same area, and they're going to create a new floor, a lower value for that house in that neighborhood. Then all of a sudden others will come in, and then there's a sort of the crowd comes out, and then the prices start dropping further and further. And so it's worth discerning if now is the time for you to sell. And if you're considering buying, it's a great opportunity if you're on the sidelines and you've already sold a home and you're renting right now to be patient and wait for a deal, because there are deals that are coming. What I've seen is that the homes that are actually selling right now are homes that are what I call value priced. They're priced below what the actual market is right now. And so there is a distinct sense of, wow, this is a value. This is a house worth buying. So there's my quick sharing with you. Again, I don't know if I've ever done that in the couple of years that I've been talking about. I've been sponsoring my own program, but I thought that there's a lot at stake right now. There's a lot at stake for you, dear ones. And I know that there are a lot of baby boomers listening to me, and you're trying to discern, when do I sell a home that is a retirement asset that I've got paid off and I've got a ton of equity? Discern carefully. Because if you're planning, remember that planning involves the Q and the T and the dollar sign. Just be alert that there could be some big impact on the dollar sign amount of your home. Okay, there's my sharing with you. I share that as a brother in Christ, a brother in the Lord, and as someone that is saying, pay attention. It's worth attending to. And so there you go. All right, I'm up against a break. When I come back, I'll dive back in to share with you a couple of insights about God's providence. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Oh, before I do that, if you want to talk to me about what you just heard, you want to be able to like pick my brain, you want to just have a sense of having just a consultation to talk with me about your home, your situation, happy to do that. It's free of charge. It's like coaching, but it doesn't cost you any money. I'm happy to coach and consult with you on your own situation to see if it's a good fit for you right now to potentially sell or buy a home. You can reach out to me on my website, which is drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. And you can just request right there. You can fill out a form or reach out to me, and I'll be happy to schedule some time and talk with you by phone or over Zoom. Okay, there you go. All right. When we come back, I want to dive into an insight that I got from With God in America by Father Walter Chizik about God's providence. And it was stunning. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. And I mentioned to you this Father Walter Chizik, his book, He Leadeth Me. It's life-changing. It's game-changing. It's about God's providence at work in your life and at work in his life, in his 23 years in Russia. And so here's his book, With God in Russia, and his book, He Leadeth Me, right? With God in America are the collection of his writings and speeches and anecdotes from others about his life when he returned in 1964 or 1963, in October of 63. And it basically tracks the last 20 years of his life. And I'm going through it, and I'm in a section here where there are these different journal entries, these personal reflections. And he had this reflection on Saturday, July 24th, 1965. And I thought that I had read everything there was to read about his understanding of providence until I read this. Because God's providence, right? What is what is God's providence? You know what it is, right? If you've listened to this program and you heard us talk about the book, I mean, God's providence is that God has a shepherding care for your life, not just your life, our lives, not just our lives, but nations and the world and the entire universe, all of creation. God has a shepherding care, and his will is Lord, is lordly, provides a lordliness over the unfolding of all of history from beginning to end, from the creation to the consummation of all things in the final judgment, the general judgment of all things at the end of history. God has a shepherding care by which his almighty power, his omniscience, and his infinite goodness are at work. That's awesome. And to imagine that this God who has this shepherding care, who's all powerful, all knowing, and all good or all loving, is brought to bear on your life, it can become, number one, very difficult to reconcile when life is going hard. And that's where I'm saying, read He Leadeth Me, and you'll never say that again. The insights that are there, it's like, God is ministering to you in all the hardest of the hard things. His providential care is pouring himself out providentially to you in all those hard things. Yeah, but there's another insight, and that has to do with good things. And that has to do with when there aren't hard things. And in fact, you want to do good things. You have a desire to do good things. You want to pursue good things. You want to accomplish great things for God. And yet you still rely on God's providence to accomplish them. All right. So I'm talking about that moment of holy desperation, of praiseworthy desperation, where we sense a call and yet we are powerless to fulfill the call. Now, I, for the last 30 years, have been reflecting on praiseworthy desperation, on the powerlessness to fulfill God's call, almost entirely, or at least in a principal way, associating it with those existential conditions and situations when I have felt powerless and desperate, where the circumstances and difficulties, the trials and the tribulations were impinging upon my life, and I didn't have the strength to overcome them. That's where I would most firmly put the reality of powerlessness. And therefore, God's providential care in the midst of all of that was that he would shepherd me through. His power would come and see me through. But what about those times where you have the strength, you have the clear-headedness, you have that determination, you have that strength of character, that strength of will, you have that mature experience, you have the plan, the vision, the strategy, and the plan, and now it's time to put it into action, and you're empty. You've got nothing. You thought you had everything, but you've got nothing. That's where this reflection comes in. So listen to Father Walter Chizik, Saturday, July 24th, 1965. He says, in giving retreats, you must be recollected, prepared, avoiding all willful distractions. And even then, God's inspirations come when he wills. That's a condition that is more proper, but not a guarantee that God's grace will follow. Hence, the constant need for humility, knowing that we are at his mercy and that whatever he does is good for us. That is the unrestricted faith and love we should have in God. Such faith and love come after many trials. This will prove one's sincerity. To realize that God is free and to serve him as such without expecting a reward or recompense from him after every sacrifice is the true understanding one must have to serve him best. A spirit of total unselfishness, my unworthiness. If you've done everything possible for God, consider that you've only done what you ought. Many times you plan to do something for God, and then you see that you did not do it. Conscious of what you ought to do and what you are actually doing is a proof of our impotence and our own impotency and the might of God's power over us. That holds not only for particular actions of ours, but especially for actions of others, nations, and events in this whole universe, in all actions, good or bad. Hence, the great meaning of prayer in the life of man, my life, the lives of others, and all who belong to God. The obligation is to act that way. Those affected by a retreat or sermon show that God, not man, has worked. All right. Did you track with me? Did you get what he just was sharing in there? He said it in a way, and again, maybe it was just my own personal position. Like, I received it because of where I was at right now in my own life. But the clarity, the crisp, clean, simple, powerful way that he says that God is free and we can be serving him. We can be asking, seeking, knocking at the door, saying, like, here, let me just make it clear. Lord, I want to fast. Lord, I want to do penance. Lord, I want to become spiritually more mature, and I want to pray more in silence and adoration and contemplative prayer. And Lord, I want to extend my time of prayer. Lord, I want to do these spiritual things for you. I want to grow in my faith. And Lord, I just want to fast today. I want to fast rigorously. I want to go on an extended fast. And I'm eating popcorn. And it's like, wait a minute. And I'm watching a movie and not praying. And I'm sleeping in rather than getting up and praying longer. And. And it's the realization. How humbling is it? How humbling is it? The realization that my good intentions, my good thoughts, my holy vision, my mature strategizing, my mapping out a plan that's realistic and doable can come up against the reality of I got nothing. And it's only God's grace that will give me the strength to do these spiritual activities. And that is so humbling, but healthy. What a healthy thing to realize. It's a great surrender. And it's what Father Chizik was saying. The Lord teaches us. He's going to be a loving shepherd, and he's going to shepherd us through these circumstances where we bring all of our best intentions and bump up against our powerlessness. We bring all of those other things that I've talked about, our own strength, our own like willingness to try to make it happen, and realize, no. It's God's providence that makes things happen. It's God's grace that makes things happen. So since I read that a few days ago and have been pondering it and reread it this morning and pondering it some more, I've been attempting to apply this in my life in a very specific way. So for instance, in real estate work, I'm trying to serve a client. It's like, okay, let me do all of this work to serve this client, to get this buyer to come to the table. And part of me bumped up against the limit. It wasn't working. And then this Father Chizik quote came up and I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe I'm trying too hard to achieve what the Lord is waiting to give me as a gift. Let me come back to that. Welcome back to the program. Why am I working so hard to achieve what the Lord is waiting to give me as a gift? Did you hear that? That's a powerful and important principle in our life of faith. There are many things that we have, even let's call them holy desires, that will only happen when God gives us the grace. And part of what God may be doing in our own spirit, in our hearts, is that He is granting us these desires. He's having these desires emerge in us without gracing us with the power to accomplish them. And why would God do that? Is God, trying to set us up for failure? Is he being mean if He gives us these holy desires to pursue certain spiritual goods or certain paths in life and ministry? And all of a sudden we're just bumping up against a lack of strength, a lack of blessings and graces to accomplish it? No, in fact, it's that the Lord has a different good, a different virtue, a different aspect of a godly character that He's forging in us, namely humility. Without humility, we're useless to God. That was the Father Tom Forrest quote. Without humility, we are useless to God. And that doesn't mean that it's easy for us to be humble or to choose situations that humble us. Again, when I think about how I've grown in humility, it's often through my visible fault or failure, that it's almost kind of like, oh, I'm embarrassed, right? There's a sort of an embarrassing lapse that is humbling. And it's, you could even use the word humiliating, right? But that's a great manifestation of becoming humbled. But what about if it's something that is much more interior, just it's something that's happening in our own hearts and lives, where the Lord gives us a desire to do things, and then we just continue to bump up against our failure to accomplish it. And you know what? It's like, okay, this is going to take your grace, Lord. I'm going to keep coming back to you. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep on striving. I'm going to keep on trying. But I'm going to make room for you. Lord, I'm going to let your shepherding care, your providential care, God's providence is going to take care of this. Lord, I'm going to let go. I'm going to surrender. Ah, there's the gift, another gift. Not only humility, but surrender. Trust. Entrustment. And so, Lord, I trust that I entrust to you my finances. I trust that I entrust to you my professional life. I trust that I entrust to you the stripping down of the things that I want to say farewell to. Lord, I trust you and I entrust them to you. I surrender. I give up. I give over. Lord, all these desires that I have to live for you with a new degree of fruitfulness, I give it to you. I trust you. You're my shepherding Lord, and I surrender. I just surrender it to you. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the humiliation. I thank you for the humbling. I thank you, Lord, for teaching me the lessons again and again and again and again and again that desires doesn't equal execution. And the failure to execute isn't simply the same as a failure of character. It may, in fact, be that the Lord is gracing us differently than our desires proposed. He's gracing us instead with humility and with surrender. Boy, I wish I wasn't 60 when I learned that. I wish I wasn't 60 when I learned that. But that type of insight, thank you, Father Chizik. He was 59 when he wrote it. No, I think he was 60 when he wrote it. Thank you, companion. The companions of Jesus, right? The Society of Jesus, the Compagnia Jesu, the companions of Jesus. He was a spiritual companion for me, not only in his book, He Leadeth Me, but in this book, With God in America. And I am handing these insights on to you. I've got to pass them on because they're so rare, the way that Father Chizik brings them out into the open. And I want to hand on to you how they're coming to live in me, that they're being sown inside of me, right? They're not as alive in me as they ought to be yet, but Lord, by your grace, they'll get there. And so I will say it out loud again, Lord, it's less than a week before Lent. And Lord, in this Lent, I'm going to take a journey together in hope with the Pope. I want a journey this Lent. And Lord, I want to engage in that spiritual warfare that I talked about yesterday. Lord, I want to strip down. I want to say farewell to those things that are holding me back and growing in you, growing to become that saint and fulfilling that God-given mission that is mine. Lord, in the time that I have, I want to live that quality life. Lord, I want to live for a length of time, but Lord, you're going to have to provide the finances. There you go. It's in your hands. And you know what? You will. I am tired and I'm done worrying about it. Lord, it's in your hands. I surrender to you. Amen. All right. There you go. Well, I'm up against the end of my program. I hope that this is a blessing. God bless you. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.